This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. In our last session, we began a new study, Do You Know I Am? A study of the names of God. We began our study by looking closely at Psalms 20, which gave us a better understanding of why we need to know the names of God. We identified that in this psalm that it was a psalm of praise for all that God had promised and had done for them in the day of trouble, and how he had accomplished this. We also discovered there was a comparison made between two groups of people, the first group being David, his army, and the nation of Israel, and the other were only identified as they. However, while David's group boasted only in God, the they group had boasted in chariots and horses. We also saw that David's group had risen and stood upright, setting up banners to God, while the they group had bowed and fallen. It appears as if this day of trouble may have been a war, or at least a conflict between nations. God's nation Israel and the they nation, with God bringing victory to his own. Let's read the psalm again so that we can remain in context. Psalms 20, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. Selah. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast in chariots, and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day we call. Did you notice that there's a word placed in the margin of your Bible? I'm using the New American Standard Bible, but yours should have it as well. That word is Selah. The word Selah is giving direction to the one that reads or sings this psalm. The meaning of Selah is given in the Septuagint. It is as to pause and meditate on what was just said. So the reader or the singers were to pause and meditate on, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. We see that there was some type of trouble going on in the land, as identified by the day of trouble. But we also saw that there were the Lord's promises in this psalm. The following is a list of the Lord's promises that we find. The Lord will, or would, answer you in the day of trouble. He would set you securely on high. He would send you help from the sanctuary. He would support you from Zion. He would remember your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. He would grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all of your counsel. He would give victory and fulfill all your petitions. He would save his anointed. He would answer from his holy heaven. His saving grace is in his right hand. He will rise and stand upright. He saves and he answers us in the day that we call. Did you notice that there were conditions that needed to be met in order for these promises to be fulfilled? This is called cause and effect, or action and results. You can use whichever term you'd like. There appears to be only one condition that needs to be met, and that was that they would call on the Lord. And how was this done? It was done through petitions, through meal offerings, and burnt offerings. They were to sing for joy over your, which is the Lord's, victory, and to set up banners in His name. So basically, this is that they would call upon the Lord for help in the day of trouble, and then when the victory comes, they were to recognize, give credit to, and praise the Lord who is responsible for and gave the victory to them. We also saw that it is the name of the Lord that sets a person securely on high or in security above the circumstances, and because of all that He is, we can set up the banner of victory. This is being one of His anointed believers that brings us His answer from His sanctuary, and it is only by His saving grace, strength, and victory that we are able to rise up and stand in the midst of the battles of life. We are also told that we are to boast in the name of the Lord. Well, what are we to boast about? We are to boast in the name of the Lord because of who He is and whom He has shown us Himself to be to us. If we are to boast in His name about all that He has done, is doing, and will do for us as believers, then we need to know His name. Have you ever looked up to see what your name means? My first name is Carol. When I looked this up, I found that it means different things in different languages. In any of the German or Slavic languages, it means free man or independent man, while in English, it means champion. My middle name is Anne, and it's a Hebrew baby name. In Hebrew, the meaning of the name Anne is favor or grace or prayer. God has favored me. In English, the name Anne is favor or grace. Most people in the ancient world, and even today, some still do, name their babies by what characteristics that they would like their child to develop. This is why in some cultures, children are not named until they reach 2 or 3 years of age. They have then developed personalities, attributes, and characteristics, thus giving the parents time to name them accordingly. This is why it's so important for us today to know and understand the names, attributes, and characteristics of God. We need to know more than He is Lord, God, Savior, and Yeshua. We need to know who He is. The most logical place to begin our study of the names as God is the first time we see that the name God is used. This is called the rule of first usage, or the first time we see a word used in Scripture which has been properly translated, and the meaning remains the same throughout. Remember, Scripture does not contradict itself. It is one of the most helpful tools that we see when it comes to word study. The very first place that we find the name of God is in Bereshit, or Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word God in this verse is the Hebrew word Elohim in the original text. Again, let's use Strong's Concordance to look up the word Elohim. El means mighty or strong, and the him ending of Elohim is really very significant, for it is a plural ending in the Hebrew that means three or more. Elohim is the name for God as creator. It is used in Genesis 1:1, and therefore could be translated, in the beginning, Elohim, or gods, created the heaven and the earth. Now, does this mean that there's more than one God at the beginning of creation? Absolutely not. In the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, we see this clarified for us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. We read, "The Lord is our God, Elohim. The Lord is one." We also see this clarified by Yeshua Himself in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. We find that when questioned by the scribes about what was the most important commandment of all, He answers this. And now we find this in Mark 12, verses 28 through 30. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and, recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Yeshua answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, Elohim, is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God, Elohim, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This quotation is from Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, and is the first part of the famous Shema. Matthew and Luke do not have the beginning sentence, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." But it is crucial because the obligation to love God is based on His oneness. As a messianic believer in Yeshua as our Messiah, we say these verses every day with our prayers. It is still known as the Shema. Shema is, of course, a Hebrew word that means hear. However, it really holds the concept of obey and hear. In the Hebraic mindset, it means obey and then hear. Now, in the Greek mindset, which most of the Western worlds have, the thought is that if you hear, then you will understand and then you will obey. While in the Hebraic mindset, first you obey and then you will understand. The difference between Greek thinkers and Hebraic thinkers is really an interesting study. Maybe at some later time we could do this. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, created the heavens and the earth, one in essence, one in character, yet three persons united as one. As you read various scriptures, you see the references to the different persons of the Godhead participating in the work of creation. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. We read, "The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." In this verse, we see the three aspects or attributes of God, Elohim, in action. God, Elohim, is the ever-present, eternal, and creator of the universe. We see this stated again in the Brit Hadashah, or the New Testament, in John 1, verses 1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Which is Yeshua, according to John 1:14, is, "And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Note that when we see the word, and the W is capitalized in the Brit Hadashah, or the New Testament, it is a synonym for Yeshua. Now we look at the Spirit. The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 3, that by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So we see that God spoke, the Spirit moved, and the Word created, the Godhead present at creation. God spoke, and the Spirit moved. Again in Colossians 1:15 through 17, we read, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things are created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." I want to make sure that we understand that Elohim is the Creator, the three personalities in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, present from the foundations of the world. The Creator of the universe has not only given you life, but He has created you for Himself. You are precious and unique, one of a kind, created for His glory. Let's read Psalms 139, verses 1 through 18, and discover more about the Elohim who created you. "O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. even before there is a word on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. Let's list what God, Elohim, has done and is doing and will do for us. He searches us, he knows us, and he knows what we are doing, both when I sit down and when I get up. He knows my thoughts, he knows my motives and my intention. He knows all of my ways, my characteristics, my attributes, and my abilities. He knows what I am going to say before I say it. He comes before me, after me, and has laid his hand upon me. He has created me with intention and forethought of who and what I would be and what I would face in this life. I wasn't a mistake. He is always with us. We can't escape him. Hallelujah! He will lead us out of and save us from wherever we have been, whatever we have been into, or whatever was done or said to us, about us, or over us. Nothing is too big or too bad for God. He formed us in our mother's wombs, just as he desired us to be. He fearfully and wonderfully made each of us. His works for us and over us were in the past and are in the present and will be in the future. Wonderful, and we know this and are content in and with it. Our very body and how it looks and functions was not a surprise to him, for he skillfully created each one of us. How cool is that? He not only created our outward body, but our internal body as well. And he also created our mind. He knows exactly how we think. His eyes saw us even before that egg and sperm met and the process began, even before we had begun to have a form. He already knows the days of our life and how our lives will be lived out before we were even born. He has a plan for each of us. Praise his name. We weren't an accident. I was prepared for my life with all that I would need to be what he intended me to be. Now, we need to remember that each of us has choices in this life and that God will not override our poor choice, his permissive will, but he is faithful, according to Psalms 20, to be the source of our victory if remember what that psalm stated? If he is our Lord, he will answer when we call, and he will give us the victory. His thoughts about us are precious and too many to count. They are more than the sand. He is with us both when we sleep and when we wake. This is the real thing. I am never alone. We should be having a holy hallelujah shout rise up in us right about now. Can you believe that the Lord, the creator of the universe, is this involved with you and loves you this much? In verse 14 of Psalms 139, we see what we should do because of his love, concern, and care for us. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Through reading this psalm, we should come to the conclusion that we should give thanks to God for his creation, ourselves. This includes accepting ourselves as he created us, each of us uniquely made to the plan of Elohim, each of us one of a kind. This also includes those around, our families, our friends, and those that we see every day, or those around the world that we may never see. We also need to look at the question, how often does God think of you, and what does he think of you? In verses 17 and 18 of this psalm, we read, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. Not only does God think of you more than the grains of the sand, but his thoughts are precious. The Hebrew word used here is yakar, and it means to be heavy, that is, figuratively, valuable, to make rare, to make precious, to be prized. Have you ever been unhappy or discontented with yourself and the way that you were created? Is this in agreement with what God says about you? We need to understand and identify the truth of God's word and what it says about us and the lie of what the world has told us about ourselves. This may even be what we have been telling ourselves about ourselves. Where do you think we get our self-image from? Is this the truth, or is it what the world wants us to believe? We need to know that the truth is Psalms 139:1-17, and not what the latest magazine or talk show is telling us, not what other people tell us, or even more important, what we tell ourselves. Have you ever wondered why you were born? Why did Elohim create you? Why did he form your inward parts and weave you in your mother's womb? If you are able to answer these questions, you will know the purpose of your life. According to Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. We were created for God's glory. Let's use one of the tools that we learned, and that's doing a word study. The Hebrew word used here for glory is kabod. It means splendor or copiousness. The concept that is being put forth is that we were created to show forth the glory of God, or who God is to the world. Another way of putting it might be that we were created to show the world a proper picture of who God is. We can see this substantiated in the fact that when the Israelites left Egypt, one of the things that they were told is that they were to live out their lives before others, that they then would know that the Israelite God was not only the Israelites' God, but he was indeed the God. So our definition of my glory in Isaiah 43:17 is my glory as God's glory, to promote honor and make known the goodness of God to the earth. Since we know that this verse is applicable for every person that God created, let's rewrite it. I'm going to insert my name. Please take the time when it's safe and convenient for you to do the same. This makes this verse very personal, empowering, and it also lets us know that with his creating us, then we also have a responsibility. This makes the scripture even more powerful when you insert your own name. Carol, who is called by my name, and Carol, whom I have created for glory, Carol, whom I have formed, even Carol, who I have made. Now this should just roll everyone's socks up and down. Praise the Lord! That's all the time we have for this session. Join us next time. Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, That's secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.